Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines on a busy, did I mention busy Tuesday afternoon right here from Los Angeles on 950 KJR. Headlines are brought to you, of course, by our friends at VenueKings.com.
That's two in a row. That's called a winning streak. It has happened before.
The Mariners win again last night. They're down 7-0 in the fourth inning. They come back and win 11-8, courtesy of a go-ahead grand slam by Dylan Moore in the bottom of the eighth. The M's now one game back in the wild card race behind the A's. They have made a trade, by the way, sending reliever Kendall Graveman and recently DFA pitcher Rafael Montero to the Astros for Abraham Toro, infielder, and reliever Joe Smith. Jerry DePoto, in the last few minutes, admitting this deal on the surface makes no sense whatsoever, but watch what we do in response to it. He wants a couple of days to make this deal make sense.
In
so
other words,
we'll give him a couple of days.
Settle the hell down, Mariner fans. Oklahoma and Texas today officially submitted formal requests for invitations to become members of the SEC in 2025. And Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliavkov said today that Pac-12 expansion is not necessary. However, there is significant interest from many schools to join the conference, reportedly including Texas Tech.
U.S. Olympic news. Simone Biles, maybe the greatest U.S. Olympic gymnast, do you think, of all time?
Yes, I do.
Withdrawing from the gymnastics team finals, citing mental health battles.
Vikings have agreed to allow Coach Rick Dennison to remain with the team, whether he is vaccinated or not, provide he complies with protocols, but they have stripped him of his O-line coach title. They have made him senior offensive advisor.
And the Kraken making a deal.
Release the Kraken.
Trading defenseman Curtis McDermott, who they picked up in the expansion draft on Wednesday, to the Avalanche for a fourth-round draft pick in the 2023 NHL draft. All right, we are back here in L.A. for Pac-12 Football Media Day. Big thanks to our friends at Bury and Toyota. The new inventory is second to none compared to other dealerships. They even have a brand new Tundra Crewmax in the showroom right now. Get to Burien Toyota and check it out. If not in person, then get to BurienToyota.com right now. Here he is, the man all of us have been waiting for, the star of the show, Jimmy Lake, the head coach at UW. First of all, it's great to see you here, man, in person. And then second of all, out of all the cool things you're doing here, meeting with the media, man, you're kind of hobnobbing with the big stars of the conference, hanging out with the commissioner. The pinnacle for you in a lot of ways should be coming on this show and hanging out with us, don't you think? How are you?
Well, if I'm in front of you, I this should be the pinnacle, I guess, right?
Yes,
that I'm
yes.
sitting here on your
yeah.
show.
This
but
is
no,
as good as it gets, baby.
This is awesome. This feels normal. It's awesome seeing all the ADs, the head coaches, the you know, representatives, the players from every single team in the conference. No mask on. We're all here. We're handshaking, high-fiving, be able to talk to all the media. This feels normal, and I just love the energy, and you can just feel the pulse and the excitement for a normal college football season in 2021, and this is the beginning of it.
What's the strangest thing you've been asked in this 4 hours you've been here so far?
Yeah. Everything's been pretty good so far. You know, I don't think there's been any curveballs yet. Maybe
right.
I'm sure the curveball is going to come now.
I got
now
some.
I'm sitting with
course.
You two guys.
Yeah,
here it comes.
I got some. Yeah, I got some. Would you rather be a squid or an octopus?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like Super Bowl Radio Row. They're always asking those stupid questions.
Right, yeah,
and
right.
Maybe we should evolve into something like that where it's just a complete circus. Well, obviously, there's a lot of issues off the field right now. You know, Dick and I were talking yesterday before we came down here that there's so many stories that we almost don't feel like we're talking enough football. I mean, you got the controversy with Rolovich, the controversy with Herm Edwards in Arizona State. You got the NIL. You got the COVID protocols. And now you got this thing with Texas and Oklahoma. And there's a lot of speculation that, well, if they do join the SEC, what does that mean for the Pac-12? Have you even allowed yourself for any moment in time the last couple of days to think about what Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC means for the Pac-12?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it. I don't think it means much to the Pac-12. Honestly, I think it means a lot to the Big 12. I think they're going to create a vacuum where someone's going to be able to rise out of the ashes in the Big 12 and take over. Very similar to you know, Clemson being, you know, the lead dog in the ACC. You know, the ACC, they got some good teams, but right now, you know, Clemson is head and shoulders above everybody else in that conference, and they've been able to run the table and go 11-1 and 12-0 and have a seat at the college football playoff. And so, you know, with those two teams leaving to the SEC, what I see, if that does happen, which it looks like, you know, eventually that could happen, I could see that conference really beating up each other, very similar to the Pac-12. You know, we have good teams in the Pac-12, and all of a sudden our champion's 9-3, and then we're thought of you know, the second cousin, and now we're ranked like 16th in the country because we're 9-3. I could see an SEC champion being 9-3, being 10-2, when you put a team like Oklahoma and Texas in that conference, but then a team also rising in the Big 12 and running the table, so to speak. So that's my initial reaction to that. I don't think those two teams leaving impact the Pac-12 whatsoever. If anything, I guess the impact would be there's going to be some more parity in the SEC, which we are already experiencing in the Pac-12.
Were you surprised that Oklahoma moved? Because they had that catbird seat. They had the Clemson of the Big 12, where they were going to the Final Four every year.
I am surprised. I guess the only thing, you know, obviously I don't know, this is from afar, is the money implications and all those things you know, being that conference and TV contracts, all that stuff that thankfully I'm not going to worry. I don't worry about, and I don't lose sleep at night. That's what our administration and our commissioner, they get to worry about all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, all I'm worried about is getting good players here, training them, develop them, so we can put out a really good product that Husky Nation is proud of.
Jimmy Lake is with us as the last guy to win a Rose Bowl at UW. Just walked right by you and Coach Neuheisel.
Yes.
You know, it's funny that we talked to Trent McDuffie about the tradition of the defensive backfield at Washington that was set by Buddha and Sidney and Kevin King and guys like that. What about your position? I mean, you're holding a job right now that was held by Rick Neuheisel, held by Don James, held by Jim Owens, held by Gil Dobie, even going way back in the day. You think about kind of your place in that kind of pecking order in some ways and the tradition that you are now given to kind of uphold a little bit.
Right. And you forgot to mention Chris Peterson, who's obviously left a huge...
Who's that?
On
never
our,
heard
on
of
our
him.
Program. you know, it's obviously a dream job, and that's why I wake up every single day, you know, trying to put our staff in a good position, our operations, our recruiting staff, and our coaches and our players in the best position to make sure they can do their jobs the best they can do it, so we can ensure that we have championship year after championship year. And so it you know, that someday I'll be able to look back and think about all the great coaches that have been here and all the things that they've done. But I'm not going to think about that now. What I'm going to think about is how we're going to win the Pac-12 championship and get that national playoff in 2021.
You finally got the opportunity to go out and see kids and really recruit. Now, it was like 108 degrees the first week and you got to do that. But since then, it's been absolutely beautiful. So how have you attacked it? Because I can just imagine you were like a pent-up dog for the last year.
No, I'm so happy for the prospects. They were able to go to all their college campuses and you know, go on unofficial visits, go on official visits. You know, our building was open to see the families, see some of these families. You know, we've only seen on Zoom for a year and a half. We've only seen through either a phone screen or a computer screen. So it was awesome to be able to bring them in. We got to travel to some satellite camps and do some evaluating. We still haven't got to go to the high school or the high school games yet. That won't come until the fall. So that'll be another thing that gets us back to normal. But so happy for the prospects, for them to be able to go visit the colleges so they can make some notes and get knowledge of where they want to continue their careers.
So a lot of Husky chatter on the golf course all the time. A lot of Husky fans. Jimmy Lake, by the way, with us from Pac-12 Football Media Day. And the one question I get more than any other, the guys always say, hey, when you see Jimmy, what's going on with recruiting? Ask him how recruiting. Yeah. Everybody wants to know about recruiting,
right.
recruiting. They're
right.
Dying to know. The guys at the golf course are dying to know. What does Jimmy Lake think about the way things are going in recruiting? So why don't you just attack that from 35,000 feet? Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I think, hopefully, you know, we've been here since 2014 now, and the guys that follow our recruiting the closest see that we do a really good job of pinpointing guys who fit us, who have NFL traits, who can become all conference players, and then we develop them. We develop them in the weight room. We develop them in the classroom, on the football field, and we've been able to do that consistently. And the proof is in the pudding. Since 2014, nobody's had more NFL draft picks than the University of Washington out of the Pac-12. third most in the country since 2014, since we've arrived here. And so we've been able to pinpoint guys. And what you guys know is we rely on our evaluations and our recruiting staff of who we're pinpointing, where I know most of the stuff that's written about recruiting is about who media people think are the best players. We like to evaluate who we think are the best players, recruit those guys, and then sign them.
How does the new transfer rule affect how many guys you offer, how many guys you actually sign? Do you want to keep more of a buffer now for guys that you can just pluck when you need to pluck them?
Mm-hmm. No, it's interesting. I think, you know, the portal is a whole different animal that, you know, was not happy about, and I know a lot of coaches weren't happy about, but just because I think that the one thing is it's a get out of, you know, you're going through something hard and you're a true freshman wherever you are, and then the easy way, I was like, you know, I'm just going to transfer. Where in the past, you know, football has built this, you know, you build this character where you go through something hard and then you come out on the other end and you see the reward. And so that's the bad thing about the portal. As soon as these young men go through something hard, then all of a sudden they want to hit the door and leave.
Yeah.
Now, the good thing is we can fill holes in places where maybe we've had guys move on to the NFL, or we've had guys transfer out of here, or we need to upgrade a position. You know, I think our wide receiver position has needed upgraded for years, and we upgraded the wide receiver position through the portal, which I'm extremely excited about and happy about. So I do think there's a positive of the portal. And so, you know, we're continuing to recruit. That model never changed, to recruit high school players and the occasional junior college player like we did with Quentin Moore, one of the best, you know, tight ends at the JC level when we signed him. But I think what we can do is if we lose guys, whether it's to injury, to medical retirement, to the NFL, to transfers, we can bring guys in through the portal, almost like free agency in the NFL, and plug those holes.
Jimmy Lake with us. It's just so funny how fans and even media think so much differently than coaches do. I've tried so many times to get my mindset to kind of be in the same mindset as Peterson, you, Lambright, Neuheisel, Gilby, and my brain just starts to, short circuit. I just can't do it. But when you say things like the wide receiver core has needed an upgrade for years, you're speaking kind of my language. You're speaking the language of the fans when you say stuff like that, because they absolutely agree with you. And I'm curious about this group, and you mentioned the transfer portal there, Dick. Giles Jackson and Jalen Polk from Texas Tech. How much do you expect from those two guys? Because there's an opportunity here, obviously, or they wouldn't have shown up here.
No question. And then our young guys that we did sign that got to play last year, and Roma Dunze and Jalen McMillan and, you know, Sawyer Racanelli and Jabez today, who we just signed, and Taj Davis, you know, yep, coming off injury. I mean, we have some guys that are, you know, they're going to have to take the next step, and they're going to take the next step. We've already seen it. It started last year, different attitude, different confidence. You know, it's no secret. I've said it. I believe, you know, our receivers over the years have held us back from us winning those New Year's Six games that we've been in. It doesn't just fall on that position group, but that position groups need to be better. And there's been a lot of pressure. Junior Adams done a great job of filling that room with high level players that I believe are gonna be all conference players and eventual NFL draft picks. The same formula that we've had with all the other position groups. Then you look at the two transfers and Jalen Polk, who got to play spring football with us. If you watched practice, you saw the toughness. You saw the want to go get the ball to make that sticky catch. You see his size. We've needed that for a while. That grit, we haven't had that. And then you know, Giles, he looks like a Maserati. You see him, man. This dude's fast. He's special. He didn't get to play spring football because we got him after that, but he came in the building, and he's just one of those guys. You're like, okay, this dude is going to blow the top off a few defenses, and he's already done it. So we're thankful that he's here with us. They fit our culture. They're hard workers. They're good young men, and I'm excited for Husky Nation to watch them in training camp and on opening day, September 4th.
Well, Softy's right about people asking questions on the golf course, and recruiting is the number one question that gets asked me on the golf course, too. Mm-hmm. The number two question is the quarterback position, mm-hmm, and they're like, are we good? Are we good at quarterback? I don't know, and that seems to be kind of like the question Husky fans are having. So, Coach, are we good at quarterback, yeah, and how are we good at quarterback?
Yeah, we are good at quarterback. So, you know, obviously you guys saw a small sample size in Dylan Morris last year as our starter. He continues to be our starter. You know, he played his first college football game against Oregon State, his first four college football games, and John Donovan did an excellent job of making sure we didn't turn the ball over, we didn't take negative plays, we didn't take sacks. and you know, making a game plan to gain him confidence, gain our offensive line confidence, our running backs, receivers, and tight ends. And so now we're in a we have a normal offseason now. We can build off some of these plays. We can add more plays. Things that people were trying to take away, we can build off things. And you know, this spider web of plays now, if you will be able to multiply. And we've had a regular offseason. And then we also added two talented quarterbacks in Patrick O'Brien and Sam Heward, who got, you know, thrown in the fire with the offense in spring football. They were able to compete. And so Dylan Morse is our starting quarterback. But just like any position on our team, I mean, we have Trent McDuffie here at this event. We have Jackson Kirkland, you know, one of the best offensive linemen, best corners in the country. If they decided, you know what, I'm not going to work as hard and I'm not going to make plays in practice, they're no longer going to be our starting left tackle and starting left corner. And that same thing with our quarterback. But I know how Dylan operates. He's going to compete. So is Patrick. So is Sam. Every single position group, I always tell you guys, I'm an equal opportunity employer. We're going to compete during training camp, and the cream is going to rise to the top. The best players will rise to the top, and those will be our players. That'll be the starters.
Yeah, Jimmy Lake with us from Pac-12 Football Media Day, and you've, I think, gone out of your way to explain what the pro-style approach means to a lot of people. Don't want to get married to one system or the other, and I've also said that, look, to me, it means dominating the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, offensive and defensive line. You want to be versatile, you got to start up front. I have great confidence in the offensive line. Defensive line, I don't know. I mean, Thule, Taki, you went out of your way, I think, during spring ball to say, hey, time for talk is over. It's time for these cats to step up. They've been here for 3 or 4 years. What are you seeing from those two in particular that leads you to believe that this year they're going to break out?
Yeah, you know, it is their time. We have the talent. We saw what they were able to do in spring football. We also have some younger guys that came in and really surprised as well. Some high school guys that came in early, Kowal and Foy, who also were making some noise. You know, I think you're exactly right, Softy. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to go be about it. And those guys took a huge step in spring football. A lot of that was Rip Rowan hearing a different voice and a different energy, a different juice. Those guys fed off that. They've had a really good training after spring football was over to get their bodies the right way. You got to enter in there Fatui as well. Fatui's going to he's also had an awesome offseason. And so we have some players, some depth, and now it's time for them to go make a name for themselves. And as long as they keep working, keep grinding, you're going to start hearing these names as some of the top players in our conference. You know, I always tell you guys, you know, a year and a half ago, no one knew who Zion was. No one knew who ZTF was. He had his opportunity, you know, with Joe Tryon opting out and Leatu, you know, having that devastating injury. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's first team all conference and everyone can't stop talking about ZTF. We have the talent at the defensive line where we could have that same those same names echoing across Husky Stadium because it is their time and they have the talent.
You mentioned depth. I don't know if there's a position with better depth than running back, which is a good problem to have, but there's one football. Mm-hmm. So what do you need to see to get yourself a rotation by game one? And what does a Jimmy Lake rotation look like as far as carries for A, B, C, D?
Yeah, it is an extremely deep position group, which I would love to hear at every single position group. That's a great problem for us as coaches. We have talented players. There is only one ball to go around. But we definitely need to, you know, we need to settle in on, you know, one to two to three guys to be able to carry the load. If a guy is hot, we need to stick with him. I do believe running backs get better after carry after carry after carry. You know, as spring football closed, I think Rich Newton really finished off well. Rich Newton also changed his body. He looks different. He looks different now that he looked great in spring football, and it looks even better now. So I think Rich Newton did a good job of separating a little bit. But there's all those guys that are right on his heels. I mean, you talk about Kamari coming back for another year, Sean McGrew, you know, Cam Davis. And then we got young guys in the fold that are very, very talented. JV on Sunday, you guys know, you know, you guys saw him.
Yeah.
Caleb Berry just joined us.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's a deep room, and it's a good problem to have a bunch of really good players.
Well, Jimmy Lake, great to see you, first of all. Looking forward to getting you guys back on the practice field. I think next Friday you guys will be out there starting with fall camp. And I got to ask you, though, I know you spent last night, you know, kind of hobnobbing with folks and meeting the commissioner. Did you have a chance to watch the Mariners fall behind 7-0, come back, win 11-8? What is it with teams in this town that fall behind big and come back and win like you guys did against Utah?
It creates the passion in the city.
Is that why you do it?
No, we don't do it on purpose.
Not to give you a stroke.
That was awesome. I did not get a chance to watch it, but I followed it on my phone after we got done with the dinner. I saw we were down 8-7. I was following it on the app there, and then all of a sudden it changed to 11-8. I'm like, well, what happened? And then finally, of course, I was able to see the clip.
Yeah,
so electric. What a great home run. What a phenomenal play for the city of Seattle and for the Seattle Mariners. They're on a really good run right now. Hey. I don't want to make comments here that I shouldn't make, but let's make sure we're buyers here at the end of the
there
the
you
game.
Go.
There you go. Right? You hear that, Jerry?
Let's go. Yeah. Make a
Coach Lake says get some players.
And, hey, you know, whoever I don't know who I'm talking to, they can also tell me to go for on fourth down, or, you know, if I need to go for two, whatever. I don't mind hearing it, but hey, let's go make a run. We have talented guys. Let's keep them here in Seattle. Let's let our fans watch this team gel together.
Yeah, I think you've just stumbled upon a fabulous idea. Every coach, every executive in Seattle gets to point out a flaw of the other.
I like it.
And, I didn't say it was a flaw. Yeah. I said no flaw. Or a request.
Jerry to make a move, and Jerry wants you to, you know,
I'm just saying the Mariners. Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying the Mariners in general, let's go for it this year.
I'm with you.
We have a talented team. Let's do it.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to get a hold of Jerry DePoto.
We're going to go for it, too. We're going to go for it, too.
All right.
You're going to go for it?
Washington, we're going for it. We're going for it all. We're trying to win it all.
So if there was
all do it together.
If there was a college football trade deadline, you would go for it. College football.
There's no question. Yeah. We're going to upgrade the team.
Okay.
Are
there more upgrades coming, by the way?
There could be.
Yeah.
There
really?
Could be. Yeah.
You can't just say that and leave.
Yeah, there could be. You never know.
Any details?
No details.
Okay. All right, man. Thank you for doing this. Travel safe back home. We'll see you next Friday. All right.
Thanks, Dick. Thanks, Softy. Go Dogs.
Yeah, go Dogs, baby. Good to have Jimmy Lake here with us on the radio show. What do you say? We get a break, but keep it to the Husky train. Trent McDuffie from DBU, the death row defense, one of the great corners for the Huskies. Trent McDuffie will join us from Media Day, courtesy of Beery and Toyota, next in LA on 950 KJR.
Podcast, all in one app.
Now back to Pac-12 Media Day, live from Los Angeles, with special thanks to Beery and Toyota on Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
All right, boys and girls, we are back live in L.A. for Pac-12 Football Media Day, hanging out until 7 o'clock tonight. Big thanks to our friends at Beery and Toyota. Hurry in, see my pals today at Beery and Toyota, because they have what other dealerships do not, and that is brand new cars. Well, joining us on the radio show right now, a guy who, I'd say in about a year from now, is going to be driving a brand new car, new sports car, after he's going to become a top pick in the NFL draft, a guy who I think our job is to convince Trent McDuffie to stay an extra couple
That's
years.
That's a great idea.
Hang around Montlake, you know, be the OG for a while, set all the records. I don't know. What do you think, man? Trent, what are the odds of us convincing you to hang around UW for another maybe 2 or 3 years?
Look, I tell everybody, I let the cards fall where they need to fall. You know, I don't worry about it. So if coming back is in my journey, I'm all for it. Let's get it rocking, Husky Nation.
And you can get paid now. I mean, you're a big video game magnet, right?
Yes,
tell us what's going on with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I say, as far as NLI goes, and as far as when I make deals, I always think, what can I do just to interact with fans? You know, I'm not really into all these big deals and trying to do all these crazy things. Like, I'm trying to do things where I can get in touch with Husky fans and play with them. So this little video game thing was along that line of me just being able to hang out with Husky fans and just get to know them and play games with them.
Oh,
just,
I got to get my son on that.
There you
He's
go.
He's going to want to go.
Let's do it. All right. Let's do it.
Is there room for a 48-year-old guy?
Of course. We can all play video games.
Are we dope enough for that group? Well, Trent McDuffie is with us, and, I mean, there's a tradition here at UW, right? Of DBU, you know?
Right.
Death row defense now kind of became DBU in some ways, and back in the day it was like tight end U. Remember when SI had that article when they talked about the top tight end schools in America and Huskies were up there? I mean, do you guys feel like that there's almost like a barometer, there's a tradition, there's a level of play that's expected from this secondary that you guys have to live up to every single year?
That's all we talk about every single day is holding up that standard, not letting the guys in the past look at us and say, whoa, what happened there? You know, keeping that swagger, getting that Kevin King, Sidney Jones, Buda Baker swagger back to the room. And that's been a big thing this year, is just getting that confidence back so that we can just go out there on Saturdays and just tear up the field and have a lot of fun.
Well, I'm just thinking about, I mean, the ages of you guys. I mean, when the LOB was at its best,
right.
I mean, you guys were like 12, 13, watching NFL every day. So even if you didn't grow up in Seattle, like some of your guys grew up in Seattle, some of you guys didn't. Like, was that something you paid attention to, knowing, hey, I'm a, you know, high school, almost high school defensive back. I want to be like Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas.
I mean, no doubt. I mean, everybody knows the Legion of Boom. You have, especially as a DB, that is like, those are the guys. So, I mean, even looking at Washington, I was like, hold on. They're over there. I can meet Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and guys like that and Earl Thomas. So, I mean, I'm trying to bring that, and that's kind of what the DBs talk about, bringing that Legion of Boom to UW. Creating our own little Legion of Boom where guys, high schoolers and guys in the NFL can be like, whoa, who are these guys making all these plays type of deal?
We talked to Kayvon Thibodeau earlier of the Oregon Ducks. Got after him a little bit, said, you know what, it must be easy to win the conference when you can just skip playing against Washington. And he said, well, that's what happens when you don't follow COVID protocol. Does that bother you when a guy says something like that?
I mean, I don't let that affect me, you know. Guys will say things here and there, but at the end of the day, we're the Huskies. Everybody got to run through the Huskies. Everybody's looking at the Huskies on the game schedule because they know when they line up on that field, they're going to get punched in the mouth every single play.
I love it.
There's a couple ways.
You're getting fired up.
That's right. Well, there's a couple ways you can look at last year's disappointment because you guys had a good season rolling, a real good season rolling. You can either, hey, I'm going to put it behind us. That was last year.
Yeah.
Or you can carry that chip.
For sure.
You can carry that chip and with the target on the Pac-12 North, target on Oregon. How do you choose to do it?
I mean, I don't know if you guys heard what Jackson said, but we were talking about this last night and just – that whole COVID and everything that happened gave everybody a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, hold on now. Like, we kind of got cheated out of some stuff. Like, we don't let that fly around here, you know? And so I feel like that's been a part of the motivation going into this year and kind of that sense of we need to put UW back on the map, you know? We need to get these fans back because they're in the stadium now. We got to give them a show, and we got to just do it for us.
Do
it for the legacy.
Talk about your new defensive coordinator a little bit. I don't know if the fans really know a lot about Bob Gregory. You know, most fans don't really associate with the linebackers coach, and that was his gig.
Right.
So put your marketing and promotions hat on for a second and sell Bob Gregory as a defensive coordinator to maybe a partially skeptical Husky Nation out there.
I mean, he is, first off, a great human being. Like, one of the awesomest dudes I've ever been a part of. I knew him from special teams, so all those fans who have seen the death row special teams come apart and all those big highlights.
Yep.
As Bob Gregory. And, I mean, he's instilling just, again, that smash-mouth football. I mean, he's talked big on the run game and wanting us to just come down and tear heads off of running backs and fill gaps and, you know, just he's instilled this death row back into us that, you know, you could say was lost for a second, but no, we're back and better than ever.
How is Jimmy Lake's role with the defense different now than it was when you came in and he was your coordinator?
Yeah, I mean, he's a head coach now, so he's got a lot of other responsibilities. He definitely does still have a lot to do with the defense, but, I mean, he has the same in the offense now. So, I mean, I feel like he's kind of given the rollover to some of the other coaches that have had to step up who have not been able to in the past. And it's exciting because now you're able to be coached by different guys and kind of learn from them and take feedback from what they see. And then also, Coach Lake is right up the way, so you can always pop into his office and see what he has to think.
Well, Trent McDuffie with us on the radio show, live from Pac-12 Football Media Day. I'm seeing you as a third-team All-American preseason PFF, Phil Steele. Everyone loves you on paper, man. But for Trent McDuffie to realize all of that, to go get that bag, get to that goal of the NFL, take this team to a Rose Bowl, what do you need to do? What does Trent McDuffie need to do to improve his game and take that next step?
Yeah, I mean, I've thought a lot about this, and I've had a lot of conversation with Coach Lake and people like that, and I think, honestly, for me, it's just coming to this leadership role and coming into this thought of, I got to get everybody else around me to my game. I got to get everybody else around me to all this media and what they say on paper. I want the whole defense to be. We say our goal for this year is to have one or two people from every position to be on this Pac-12 or PFF, or, you know, everybody needs to be so-called these guys. And that's kind of the motivation we've had, and that's kind of something that we're going into this year with the chip on our shoulder. Like, people got to wake up and realize that the UW defense and the UW culture is different than the rest of the country, and we're going to come get at y'all.
Get a little payback on the Ducks this year, all right?
We'll do.
Yeah, he's saying all the right things, man. No doubt. Good stuff from Trent McDuffie right there. Fun to have him on the radio show. You want to get fired up and run through a wall? I would go back and hear that again. Definitely on the website later on tonight. Always fun to have Trent on the radio show. Jimmy Lake was with us earlier. Jackson Kirkland was with us earlier. We continue live from Pac-12 Football Media Day. What do you say we visit with an ex-Husky assistant coach, now the head coach at Oregon State, Jonathan Smith, is going to join the program live from L.A., courtesy of Beery and Toyota, next on 950
KJ. Report limitations apply.
Now, back to Pac-12 Media Day, live from Los Angeles, with special thanks to Beery and Toyota on Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Well, always one of our favorite guests to catch up with at Pac-12 Football Media Day. It's funny how this place is littered with ex-Husky assistants, man, all over the place. As a matter of fact, David Shaw used to be a coach up at Western in Bellingham way back in the day. So you got Shaw from Bellingham with his Western ties. Will Cox, obviously, was with us with Sark. And now the former offensive coordinator for Chris Peterson, the man who engineered that high-flying offense in 2016. Head coach of Oregon State, Jonathan Smith, with us here in person. Courtesy of our friends at Beery and Toyota. How are you, man?
Yeah, doing well, man. This has been fun. In person.
Yeah.
Familiar faces and talking football. It's been great.
Some coaches prefer to do it over Zoom and just, you know, do things behind closed doors. But it sounds like you're kind of a people person. You want to get out in public and, you know,
talk to
spread the love, right?
Yeah, I got my mask right here, too, so we're all good.
How many years now? Is this 4 years? Four years now?
Headed into year four.
Four years at Oregon State. Are you where you wanted to be? You go back to think about when you got hired and the progress you wanted to make. Are you on the right trajectory? Have you taken a couple of detours, ups and downs? But after 3 years in the books, are you content with where the program is?
I think we're on the right trajectory. We're not content with the first 3 years we had in regards to wins and losses, but we were very aware of what we were, you know, taking on and the work that needed to be done, and we dove into it, and we've learned a ton. We got a bunch of progress. So I like where we're at recruiting-wise. We're continuing building facilities, you know, in the stadium we talked about earlier, and where we're headed with that. And so headed into this August, I feel better than I have the first 3 years.
Well, time-wise, it kind of synergizes with the Mariners too, because Jerry DePoto takes over the rebuilding team right as you take over Oregon State, but they said, hey, you know, COVID set us back a little bit, and we shouldn't be judged on, you know, maybe push our window out a little bit. How did it affect you, especially because you were in a different situation than some programs were that were already fully established?
Sure. You know, I think it was tough on all of us in regards to the season. I still am grateful we were able to play and play a season. We got 7 games in. Sure, we'd love to win a couple more of them, obviously, but we got an opportunity to play. I think we progressed. That, you think about it, we got 7 games to play. Well, that means 7 weeks of practice. And so the development of the whole roster and those opportunities, we took advantage of it. And so I was glad we played, and I think we're progressing great.
Yeah, Jonathan Smith with us, former UW offensive coordinator, now the head coach at Oregon State. And we're talking off the air about your quarterback situation. Sam Neuer, the transfer from Colorado, came in. He can play right away, obviously, as can can everybody. And then Tristan Jebbia was your guy a year ago. I don't think people really understand what happened to Tristan Jebbia. I mean, it was cringeworthy when you told me the story off the air. Tell people what happened to your starting quarterback last season.
He hurts his leg. We're on a QB sneak at the end of the Duck game. And initially, I thought it was like a cramp and maybe he pulled his hamstring. Right? He actually was detached, his hamstring coming off the bone, and that took a while to get back. And he's worked really hard. He's progressed great. He's moving around well. Feel like he'll be full go come August.
How about the running game? Because obviously you relied pretty heavy on Jermar. And, I mean, he had good numbers for a full season, let alone a freaking half season. Yeah. I mean, he was going to be a 1,700-yard running back in a 12-game season. So how do you replace that?
Yeah, it's tough. But we do like our options in the backfield. I do think it starts up front. We return the whole O-line, both our tight ends and our scheme. We use them a bunch. And so we feel good that that's a starting point to continue the run game.
Yeah.
But then we got Deshaun Fenwick, who's a transfer from South Carolina, had a great spring. B.J. Baylor, we felt good about B.J. for really the last 2 years. It was just tough to get him the ball when you got Jamar sitting there. And so those two guys probably the front runners to replace. But we got some other options. Shoot, we got Trey Lowe playing a little bit of running back for
you.
That guy, I remember recruiting him out of Jesuit and whatnot. He's got a skill set back there. He's a little unique, but we've liked what he's brought to the table out of the backfield.
Yeah, I really would like to have him in Seattle still, by the way. So I don't know how that worked out, but you ended up with him, so good for you. But Jonathan Smith is with us, and you mentioned Jebbia getting hurt in the Duck game last year, which was awesome to watch from a Husky fan's perspective. We're rooting for you big time.
I appreciate it.
In that game.
That was well done.
It never should have gotten to that point, though, because of the way the game was called at the goal line. And David Shaw sat down with us, and he said, for the first time since he's been here, they had a coaches-only meeting with the commissioner. You were a part of that?
Yep.
That was never done with Larry Scott. Does officiating come up during those conversations?
Well, it didn't come up a bunch yesterday when that took place, but it was impressive. The first time hearing Jordan speak and
what was
vision,
impressive about him?
Just the way he was communicating his vision for it, the way he wants to hear and learn before he makes some dramatic decisions. I think he's got a good feel for the landscape of the national picture because there's some big things going on with conference realignment and name, image, and likeness and the expansion of the playoff. And so he was able to spell some things out and take some input. Because we got some big-time head coaches in that room that got strong opinions and have been around the block. And so it was a really good hour yesterday.
So Texas and Oklahoma, what does that mean for the rest of college football, particularly the future of the Pac-12?
Yeah, it'll be interesting, man. It's tough to forecast and how that plays out. I do feel like our league is great. We're strong. But in the circles that make some of those decisions, I ain't in those circles. And so you stay focused on us and what we can do. But I know I feel great, and I'm a West Coast guy. I grew up in Southern California, obviously played here, coached in this league for a while. I love the setup. I think there's some cool things about all 12 universities and stadiums. And so if it stays the same, I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah. Jonathan Smith, head coach of the Beavers, with us. Before you go, you mentioned that your stadium is finally getting taken care of. And, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people understand what you've been going through down there. But, Dick, you've been there. Half the stadium, I think it's the east side of the stadium, looks like an NFL stadium.
Yep.
And the other half looks like a high school stadium. I mean, you could not get a bigger contrast from one half of the stadium to the other. And you're saying that is now getting taken care of.
Yeah.
How much of a hindrance, honestly, has that been for your program?
You know, it's a part of, you know, everyone looking at facilities and game days. I'd say our atmosphere is great on game day, and we got a loyal fan base that loves. And I still got great memories from that old side of winning some big time games. But it was time to get something done. And now that the AD, Scott Barnes, had a vision. Shoot, it started when I first got down here of wanting to get this thing fundraised. So demolition will begin after this season. We'll do one season of construction, and then we'll be off and running 3 years.
You see his name like a couple of dogs, and himself an ex-dog. You want things to go well, just bring in a bunch of Huskies. Scott Barnes, ex-Husky. Jonathan Smith,
we know how
ex-Husky.
To fundraise.
Trey Lowe, ex-Husky. They're all down there in Corvallis doing their thing. All right, best of luck, man. Always fun to catch up with you, and we will see you on the 2nd of October in Corvallis.
In Corvallis, yeah.
I look forward to it. After you come in after a win in L.A. against USC, you're going to come in 1-0 in the Pac-12.
That's the plan.
And let's both agree to kick the crap out of Oregon this year.
I like that.
I'm in
How's
on that, too. I am okay. in on that.
All right, good stuff. Coach Jonathan Smith, former UW offensive coordinator, now the head coach at Oregon State. Good to have him on the radio show. What do you say? We get a break, come back from L.A. Pac-12 Football Media Day continues courtesy of Burien Toyota. David Shaw, No disrespect to Kyle Whittingham, but the true dean, the true OG of Pac-12 coaches, David Shaw. Has he talked to Richard Sherman, by the way, since the incident a few weeks ago? We'll ask him next as we continue from Pac-12 Media Day in L.A. right here on 950 K.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.